Hello again to episode 2 of New Every Day on Category 5 TV. My name is Carrie.
And I'm Jen. And we're here to talk about existential aspects of biblical reading to affect our sanctification, which leads to glorification. We've been sharing this place now for about 3 years, and one of the benefits that we've had is every day we talk about our days and how God has sort of moved in and around the events of our day, and how his mercies are new. That's our theme verse, Lamentations 3:22 and 23, and the fact that we can have hope.
Can you just read the verse again, Jen?
Sure. Let me just... So Lamentations, Old Testament. What's interesting about the book of Lamentations is we believe the prophet Jeremiah wrote it, and he was just so broken about what was happening to Jerusalem. And that he wrote... He's called the lamenting prophet. He was just so broken. And the whole book of Lamentations is basically a written lament in the Bible about, God, where are you? God, where are you? Do you not see your people? And so as I read through Lamentations, I'm like, okay, God, where are you? And then you get to basically the middle of this short little book. It's 5 chapters. And like Jeremiah is saying, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. Like he is, I know. And I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. So that's our theme verse. And so we basically, we're going to talk for the next little while about who God is and how he interacts in our life. And specifically, how do we even know it's God?
And like, why read the Bible and why pray? And, you know, is Christianity really relevant today? You know, does it really matter what you believe as long as you treat people nicely? Why is faith important? You know, why should I bother even telling people? You know, why are we even having a show about this? You know, there's so many other things that we can focus on that we could talk about. But why is this important in our lives? So that's why we wanted to talk, have the show. So,
and one of the things that you talked about in the last show was how reading the Bible helped grow you in your faith. Now, what's interesting is the Bible was actually written like close to 2,000 years ago. Like by the time they put the whole thing together, it was about 300 AD. And yet we are still reading it today. And like every day, I cannot go a day without reading my Bible. There have been times where I've gone to bed and I've been like,
I didn't read it yet.
Gotta read it. And I'll get out of bed and I'll read it or turn on my phone. The Bible app, you know, open it up, and we'll put a link to that on our website. And because it's, for me, reading my Bible every day is like feeding my soul. And for me to grow in my relationship with God, but also in my relationship with the people around me, I need to know what's in this word. Because we, as Christians, we believe that it is not just a book. We believe it is the inspired word of God.
What's it? What's inspired?
Well, which, because some people believe, well, did God take a hold of the prophet's hand or the writer's hand?
And like teaching a kid to write.
Is that what he did? And we believe that inspired means that God spoke to those people writing the Bible, and those people wrote it out.
Okay.
So it's written by people, but inspired, told by God. So it's God's story. It's like a biography of God's love, basically.
Hmm.
Some people have said it's the B-I-B-L-E, which is, if your first language is not English, Bible is what we call it. But basic instructions before leaving Earth. And so the Bible was written to tell us about who God is and how much he loves us and how he desires to have a relationship with us. And right at the very beginning in Genesis 1:1, mm-hmm. it says, in the beginning, God
mm-hmm.
created the heavens and the earth. And so we believe that God created us, but he created us for a purpose. And that purpose was to have a relationship with us. And so the Bible is full, beginning to end, about that relationship. And the cool thing that I love about it, in our church, we've been going through a sermon series called The Story.
Yeah.
So we'll put that link up on our website, New Every Day at Category 5 TV. But basically what I like about it is it helps us, you know, it's like Cole's Notes of the Bible. And it helps us to actually get the full story of what it is. Like, how is God interacting throughout history to connect with his people?
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is as you read through the Bible, even though it was written over like 1600 years, the same, and written by like
40 different authors. Yeah.
The same message keeps coming up.
Yeah.
God loves me. He has a plan for me. Come to him. He'll receive you. And yeah.
Even in the Old Testament, like the Old Testament was written before Jesus. Yeah.
Yes.
And I remember reading that and thinking, this, like, is this even relevant? It's talking about Israel and Egyptians and all of these different things.
Yeah.
And yet now I see that there is a common theme about Jesus, even in the Old Testament.
Mm.
So very, very interesting. I think I've developed a new respect for the Old Testament. Because even Jesus, like, he was talking to the Pharisees, which were, how would you explain a Pharisee, Jen? There were people who lived during his time period.
Right.
Right.
And so like
leaders
during, there's, the Bible is broken up into two parts, an Old Testament, or it means Old Covenant.
Okay.
So that's like before Jesus, and then the New Testament or the New Covenant, which is about the story of God through the life of Jesus and how the church came about.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, God is orchestrating time. Basically, there's a term called the fullness of time, where God is preparing for Jesus to come. And so he did that through, the coolest part is he doesn't use a prophet. He doesn't really use the Jewish people at that moment to accomplish his plans. He accomplishes plans through people who don't even know him. So while God is orchestrating that, the Jewish people sort of break off into four different groups. One of them being the Pharisees, who are teachers of the law.
Like the law of God.
The law of God. Yeah, so they're like keepers of the law. So they would write like a how-to book on, well, what does it mean to honor the Sabbath day?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then all these rules.
You can do this and you can do this and you can't do this. And you can, so, right.
Yeah.
Well, what does it mean to honor your parents? What does it mean to do this? So they were the keepers of the law because their faith was the only, the law meaning the Old Testament, because their faith, the book, the Old Testament, the Torah, was the only thing they had.
Right.
Because the Romans now had come over and so they didn't necessarily have control of their land. The only thing they had control of was their faith and their culture.
Hmm.
And so the Pharisees, teachers of the law, were the people that were saying, we have got to protect this so that we can truly be the people God has called us to be.
Hmm. I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm. So they were like,
so they were the keepers.
They were the keepers of the law. Like, and that's why, you know, Jesus, and so often he comes against them because they they read the letter of the law, but they didn't hear God's heart.
Yeah, like he even referred to the Old Testament when he said, you're searching the scriptures because you think that in them you find life. He said, no, these scriptures point to me. And I was like, what? That's the Old Testament. But what those people were studying at the time was the Old Testament. And and Jesus even is in there before he was born. And that's part of how, you know, God was telling things before they happened. And that's something certainly we can talk about more.
Yeah. Now, what I found interesting is that you said it occurred to you that Jesus was in the Old Testament. And so often, how do we go about reading it? Like, we know...
Like, how do you even get started?
Yeah.
Because that's something that I struggled with, right? I said last week, there was no one there to teach me how to do it necessarily. Mm-hmm. So, like, what do you do? Like, you know, you hear people going like, okay, speak to me. Bam. And then they'll read something. For they are like a breath of air. Their days are like a passing shadow. You know, that's a random verse without context. Like, is that the best way to read our Bible or what? You know, what do you recommend?
Yeah. Well, and I think there's different ways for each person. And sometimes I'll read it differently depending on my mood. Like, there are some days that I sit and I'll just sit down and I'll read the Bible like a novel. Like, wow, I can't even like get away from it sort of thing. Like, I'm just going to read it. And then there's some days where there'll just be one verse and I'll just read it and read it and read it and read it. And it'll sink in. One of the ways that I often read my Bible is I set aside a time, usually the same time every day, just to keep it part of my schedule.
Yeah. Okay.
And I have my journal, and this is my bookshelf, by the way. These are all of my journals from, like, I don't know, eons. And as I work through the Bible, I'll read a passage and something like, okay, I'll do what Carrie did. All right. So, it says, well, this is Jeremiah 28. It says, so this is 28:16. So this is what the Lord says. Soon I will remove you from the earth. You will die this year because you taught the people to turn against the Lord. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what do I do with that?
Right.
Because it sounds like, what? And so what I often will do is I'll actually write down the verse, because I tend to be a visual learner. Mm. So I'll write down the verse and then I'll ask questions, Lord, to the Lord, like, what does it mean to teach your people wrong? Like, because that's what the verse said, because you taught the people to turn against the Lord. And I'll say, Lord, have I ever taught people to turn against you? What does that look like? Please protect me. Be with my words, you know, help me to say the right things. Help me to be in a place. So that would be applying the Bible. Because that was like really weird, right? Just to open it up, read a random verse.
Because it's not in context too. And I think, you know, I've done that before and sometimes it doesn't make sense, but you have to be able to read things in context.
Yes.
So if sometimes it's not always best just to open it up and be like, what should I do this morning? And it's like, you know, go take a young goat and
I know.
Whatever.
And so if you happen to do what I just did, open it up, then you go back and you actually read the whole thing. And that is so important, to read the thing, the verse in context. And if I'd gone back to the beginning of chapter 28 of Jeremiah, it says the false prophet Hananiah. And as you read the passage, you start to see that, oh, he was teaching the people wrong. He was teaching the people one thing, whereas Jeremiah was teaching the people about actually what God is saying. Hananiah was saying, you know, peace is coming. And Jeremiah's like, peace is not coming. Mm. And so that's
what... So you get context by reading more of it. Yeah.
Yes.
I know I found it helpful. And I don't know about you, Jen, but like, say you're going to start in the book of John. Like, I'd actually just read one chapter.
Yes.
And then just ask God, can you show me... You know, one verse. And then I'd read it again. And, you know, one verse might kind of stick out in my mind. It wasn't like I heard God saying, John chapter 3, verse 1, and be like, oh, John chapter 3, verse 1, you know? Not that I doubt that God can't do that.
Yeah.
But, I know, for me, that some verse might just stick out, and then I would write it down and think about it and pray about it. And I didn't know who God was at that time.
Right.
And yet, I found that suddenly that verse that stood out to me would start applying to my day. Mm. Like, for example, I remember reading, you were not your own. You were bought at a price, meaning Jesus came down and paid for us, bought us back. We were slaves to sin, bought us back by dying on the cross. So you were not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And, you know, as a teenager, I thought, well, what's that mean, God? Like, what does it mean to honor you with my body? Does that mean, you know, don't get my face all pierced or whatever? But then I thought, okay, well, if I'm honoring him with my body, does it mean I'm going to actually use my body to serve other people? So I'm actually going to go and I'm going to help serve. And I found that the verse would come to mind, or like bad company corrupts good character. And, you know, I remember that verse. I was with a group of friends and the verse came to mind. And I thought, you know what, this is not a good situation for me to be in. I was like 14, right, at a party.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so God just kind of like started talking to me that way through the Bible.
Right.
Kind of interesting.
And what's interesting is what you just said is as we read verses, they come to mind throughout the day.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can see on Carrie's shirt, it says Rumble Camp for the Deaf, which is a camp that we support and encourage and pray for. It was at camp, now not this camp, but another camp, that I started, along with church, memorizing scripture. And so because the Bible says, you know, plant God's word in our hearts. And so, you know, I grew up memorizing the Bible for the exact same reason that you just said, so that I often find at different points during the day, because I've been in the word and I'm training myself to memorize scripture, that something will happen and I'll be like, okay, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And it just reminds me of how much God loves me, because it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And so when we tell God about everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, then his peace comes. I love it. But if I had not read his word, if I had not hid it in my heart, it says
by memorizing,
then so many times I think I would just stay in my anxiety. But it's like when I'm feeling anxious, then I'd be like, wait a second, the Bible says.
And think about it. And suddenly your mind is turned away from the situation. It's turned back onto God.
Yes.
You know?
Who really is the only one to solve the problem. Because what I find happens then, because I have hidden his word in my heart, which means I've planted it, I've memorized it, I've spent time with it. When the problem happens, my eyes turn towards Jesus, who is the only one that can really help me in the situation. But then my attitude changes.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And it's like, okay, Lord, change my attitude. Give me the words I need. Help me show grace to that person. And that all started because I made time to read his word. And I think, you know, if we were honest, there are some mornings, some days where we'll read it and we don't get, you know, perceive that we don't get anything from it.
Yeah.
But I know I have to read it. Just like there are mornings where I eat my breakfast and I don't necessarily enjoy it, but I know I have to.
Your breakfast or the reading?
My breakfast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's okay. I know I have to eat it. Right. So but then during the rest of the day, whatever I read that morning, even though in that moment I might not have gotten anything from it,
it comes to mind.
It comes to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So, now I know that sometimes happens with you at work.
It does. And I've had several situations where sometimes I think, I don't know, I have questions about what I read in the Bible. Mm. And that's something I thought, well, you know, if I'm a Christian, then maybe I shouldn't have doubts or shouldn't have questions. But it's in asking those questions and, like, writing them down and then talking about having our couch time and talking about it, or, you know, praying about it, asking God, that I've really learned from those times of doubt.
Right.
And so I don't necessarily shy away from asking questions anymore. And I'll just share a quick story. So I work as a nurse, and any story that I share about situations at the hospital, I've changed the information for patient confidentiality, so that's not a concern. Mm. But I was looking after a young woman who, she was quite ill. I was working on post-operative floor. And she was there, and I went in the middle of the night, and I was walking past her room, and I could see that she was shivering. So I went in the room, and I said, "Oh, are you okay?" And she said, "No, I'm really having some pain. I'm not feeling well." I took her temperature. She had a fever. I gave her some Tylenol. And I was just kind of settling her back into bed, and I noticed her Bible on her bedside table. I said, "Oh, like, is that yours? Do you read that?" Right. She said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, that's great, you know." And then I left the room, and I felt, I just got to go back in and talk with her. I just got to go pray with her. So I went back in the room, and I said, "Is it okay if I pray with you?" And so I prayed with her, and I shared a verse that had encouraged me. And it's Zephaniah 3:17, "For the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Yes. He will take great delight in you." Excuse me. "He will quiet you in his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing." Shared that with her. And then after we were done praying, she was like crying. And she said, "You know, I'm going for a biopsy tomorrow to see if I have cancer. And I just don't know what to do, and I'm nervous." And I said, "I don't know what the answer is, but I know that God is real and he promises to be with you." And she believed that too. 2 years later, I actually met her again. And she was my patient again. And she recognized me. She's like, "Hey, are you the nurse that prayed with me?" And I was like, "Yeah, I totally remember you." And yet she still had cancer. And I struggled with that. I was having more of a hard time of it than she was. And she said, I said, how are you doing?" And she said, "You know, I used to pray, you know, God, why haven't you healed me?" And I read, after I had seen her, Psalm 103, you know, God is the one, he forgives all my sins and heals all of my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Hmm. And I'm like, but I read that, and isn't it true? And yet here's this young woman, and she's quite sick. And anyway, she did not do well that day. It was very, very sick. And she said, "Carrie, I understand now that I can have peace in God, and his ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not my thoughts. And yet I know that he's with me, and that one day I'm going to be with him." Hmm. And she's sharing this with me. She is preaching to me, and I'm the one wrestling with it. And you know, that's where I said, "God, like, are you not the one who heals diseases? And yet here's this woman, and she died." And I really struggled with that for a long time. But I kept reading. I just kept reading. And maybe you have doubts and you're struggling with things, but just keep reading, you know?
Yeah.
So I read that again, and God forgives all our sins, and he heals us from our diseases. And one day we are going to be with him in heaven, and we're going to be made new. And he's making us new inside every day as we spend time with him. I know I've seen people change in how they are. But yet he gives us this promise that this life is not it.
No.
Right? And that those are the words of hope that I read in here. That we, you know, are going to encounter suffering. But he promises to be with us. He will forgive us and heal all our disease. And one day we will be fully restored after we die. And my patient had that perspective, despite being the one suffering. And I'm still wrestling through these things, and I'm still learning about it. But through that experience, I learned it's okay. I can question, but I can also trust that God is trustworthy.
Yeah.
Even if I don't know what's going on, that the words are true. And we just got to keep reading and being encouraged and talking it out and praying about it. So, yeah, that's one of like a million things that have happened in stories where God has brought to mind scripture and then taught me from it.
And I think, like you said, you kept reading. Yeah. So often I hear about people who pick and choose what they read in the scriptures. So
like an a la carte menu.
Like an a la carte menu. Mm-hmm. And I really encourage you, like, to at some point read it all the way through.
Yeah.
Because it's like picking up, you know, one of these books and opening it to the middle and only reading a page, but you don't know what happened before and you don't know what happened afterwards. So you can read, you know, one of the passages that says something about God's character, and yet you're only having a little piece of it. Like you said, reading it in context, like what does the rest of the passage say? But what does the whole Bible say? So when we talk about healing or suffering or, you know, we read that where he heals everyone, right? Like he will heal. And that you go to the New Testament and it says that Jesus healed everyone that came to him. But yet when he went to the pool of Siloam, he walked past everyone and healed one man. And so it's so important, you know, and so you can't just read about the healings. You have to understand that passage in Isaiah, which says, like the lady said, I've learned that his ways are not my ways. He does not do things the way I want him to do things. And so we can look at Jesus and go, how come sometimes he healed everyone and other times he would walk around? Well, as we read through scripture, as we talk about it, which is so important, like I find sometimes, and we do this so much, right? Hey, I read this today.
What do you think of this?
What do you think?
Because I'll be like, Jen, this is weird.
And so, you know, then our life experiences can play into the way that we understand it, or we hop on, you know, internet commentary. And what are, like, people who have studied the Bible say about this? Because that's so important. Like, don't just read it by yourself. Like, get involved in a Bible study. Like, attend a church that actually preaches the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But knowing what the whole thing says, so that, like you said, you were faced with this situation that you didn't understand and you struggled and you doubted, but you kept moving forward.
Yeah.
And you sought wise counsel and you continued to pray and ask the Lord to sort it out. And I think sometimes he puts things on pause. And then as you continue to read, all of a sudden, you know, a week later, a month later, something happens. You have an interaction with someone. And then it's like, unpause, and you have that peace or the answer that you were looking for. But like you said, you have to keep at it. Mm-hmm. Like, keep at it. Even with the doubts, I know sometimes, even though I've been serving the Lord my entire life, there are days where I'm like, God, are you even there?
Really?
Yeah. Like, if you're there, like, why did this happen? Your word says, right?
I heard someone say one time that if you're questioning, ask God, like, can you pray, God, if you're real, can you show me? Like, is that an okay thing to pray?
I think so. Because that's a genuine question. But also be prepared that he might show you in a way that you don't expect. Like, so often it's like, okay, an angel of the Lord has now appeared in our presence, right?
Yeah. Or I remember when I first became a Christian, I remember saying, you know, okay, if I'm supposed to go over to this friend's house, then make that glass of water fall over. Well, the glass of water didn't fall over, you know?
Oh, yes, I'd be so like, God, if I really can do all things through you, the remote control that's over there, I'm just going to believe that I can do all things.
Although, okay, so this was in high school. I know I've talked a lot about growing up and won't be able to share stories later about life now. But anyways, I remember I was in high school and I was really wanted more time to work on this project and I was stressed about it and it was winter time. I said, God, can I please have a snow day tomorrow? I woke up and it was a snow day. I was like, he's real. I'm not saying to pray for snow days, but, you know, I think it's okay like to pray for things as they come to mind. It doesn't have to be formal. You don't have to kneel outside of your bed.
Yeah.
And yet God is holy, which means he doesn't have sin, and we need to respect and honor him.
Yeah.
And yet he says we can come to us as his children because he loves us. So there's an interesting relationship there.
And one of the cool things for me about reading the Bible is I knew it was important because I saw my dad reading the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Like every day. Every day. I remember seeing him on his bed reading the Bible. And in fact, when my dad passed away, that was the only thing I wanted. I wanted his Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew that because my dad read the Bible, it must be important.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I started reading the Bible when I was 8. Just a children's Bible. I don't think I have it here. I think I have it in my office. Just started reading a children's Bible. And that's, you know, and even then it was a King James version.
These and thous.
These and thous. And yet, because we believe that it is, the Bible says that it is living and active.
Right.
So you can read one passage and go back and get one thing. And you go back the next day and you get something totally different.
Yeah.
And then go back the next day and you're like, whoa.
What do you mean, though, by, like, you get something?
Like, for instance, I meet with a couple young ladies once a week. And we're just mentoring discipleship. And we're talking about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And so we were listening to a John Piper YouTube video. He's a pastor. And sometimes it's just good to have different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd always read the passage. Now let me see if I can find it. And it says that this is John 1:33. It says, you will see the Spirit come down and rest on a man. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. But the way John said it, John Piper, Pastor John, said it, he said, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I went, like, I'd always just read it, like, in the sentence, you know, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen this happen. I tell you that it would just keep reading.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It hadn't even occurred to me that it was Jesus.
Who is the one who
baptizes
the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who baptizes. So it's not people. It's Jesus. And I'm thinking, how many times have I read this passage? So when I say, you know, I got something new from it, I feel like I was encouraged.
Okay, so it's like you're learning something new.
I'm learning something new. Like, I was encouraged, and I felt like it would affect how I would pray.
Okay.
Or when I pray for other people. Lord Jesus, that you would, in your mercy, fill this person with the Holy Spirit. That it's Jesus
doing it. So it was just something that stood out to you that was different.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was so cool, because I'm like, I've read this passage so many times, and that's what, when I think about the Bible and it means to be living and active, that's why I can't not read it every day. I'm afraid of what I'm going to miss. Well, not afraid, but what did I miss out on that would encourage me in my faith, that would strengthen me? And sometimes, and I know this happens a lot, like, and it happened this morning, you read me a verse and I went,
You were encouraged by it.
I was encouraged by it, you know? And that's why it's, if you've read it once, don't think,
done. And maybe that's something, Jen, here on New Every Day, on Category 5 TV. If you have something that's encouraged you, or maybe you've just started reading the Bible and you want to share something, or you have a question, send us an email, neweveryday@category5.tv. And we can talk about that and really start to build a community. Like us on Facebook, and maybe that's where people can start sharing encouraging verses.
Yes.
Or maybe you've just started reading and suddenly what we've just been talking about has happened to you, that you've thought of that verse, or God has brought it to mind, or maybe you turned on the TV and someone mentioned that verse. Just these little coincidences that, mm-hmm. that I find encouraging to hear about from other people.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something they can do. But we're almost out of time again, Jen.
I know. I see that.
And but I've really enjoyed talking about this. I think it's something that I have more questions about. I mean, there's certainly things that I've read that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe you have questions too. Again, send us an email. But yeah.
Okay.
Already. Well, episode number two.
I know. But we do want to thank Eco Alkaline
mm-hmm.
for Eco Alkaline batteries for powering us up. They are an eco-friendly battery, and we're so thankful that they are sponsoring us. They are carbon-free.
Neutral.
See,
we'll get it.
I know, we'll get it. It's coming up. Eco Alkaline. They are on our website. Check them out. Also, if you don't have a Bible, like you want a real Bible, and it was interesting, as Carrie was saying, the verse that she read, I actually will write notes in my Bible.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes it's
like
good
you
to
write
have,
right on it?
Yeah. Oh. Sometimes it's good to have a real Bible that you can flip in and maybe make a note.
Sure.
If you don't have a Bible, the Canadian Bible Society will gladly hook you up. Also, the Giddings International are both mm-hmm. websites. We'll put both of those links on our website, Category 5, no, New Every Day at Category5.tv. because we believe that this is one of the means that God speaks to his people.
Sure.
And so we want to encourage you just to make sure that you have one. If you don't have a paper Bible, download the app and or go to BibleGateway.com. They have lots of versions that you can find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
because maybe King James is all you've ever read. Great.
It's hard to understand.
Yeah, so feel free to go and read a different version. Sometimes that helps too. You'll read one version mm-hmm. and then you'll read another one and go, oh, that's mm-hmm. what it means.
Yeah.
So we encourage you to do that, to dig into the Bible, which is God's message of love
yeah.
for us. So we're going to pray. And if you've struggled with reading the Bible, we're going to pray for you. If you've never read the Bible before, we're going to pray for you. But if you're thinking more about who God is and wondering, how do I start, you know, this relationship with God? It's as easy as saying, God, I don't even know where to start, but I need to learn more about you. Teach me about yourself. Make me aware of who you are and what you have for me. Because mm-hmm. we don't have to have it all together to come to God. That's the cool thing.
Or maybe you started reading and then you messed up last week and you haven't read it in a million years. That's what part of new every day means, that God's mercies are new every day.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we pray, Jen?
All right.
I'll get us started. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that your mercies are new every day. Thank you for the Bible
mm-hmm.
that has stood the test of time over hundreds of years, and we still have the copy to read today. And somehow, Lord, you still speak to us through it. And so I pray for our viewers and for the new everyday community that's just getting started.
Mm.
God, that you would speak to them. Would you highlight verses in their mind? Let them be thinking about you. And as only you can, we just pray that you would encourage them to keep reading,
mm-hmm.
that they would open their Bibles. God, help Jen and I to keep learning about you every day. Thank you for your goodness. We pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, I also want to pray for people who maybe have read something in the Bible and have been disappointed or have doubts.
Mm.
I pray that they'd be encouraged just to keep going and to keep on seeking you. So I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that your Bible tells us that you love us. So Father, for those, for Carrie and I and for those watching, we ask that you would, that we would hear you speaking through your word about how much you love us. And Lord, that we would come to a new understanding of how much you love us every day. And for our viewers that are watching, Lord, for those that don't know you yet, but want to know you, would you meet with them today? And Lord, for those that do know you, would you encourage them in their faith? May they just see your hand, your presence with them. And may the words in your Bible bless them, encouraging them to believe that your mercies are new every day. And bless Category 5 TV, Lord. Encourage them today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. This was episode 2 of New Every Day, and we sure hope that you will join us next week as we ask more questions.
Amen.
All right.
Cheers.